Marian Marzinski has been making documentaries for more than 5 decades. He's won 2 Emmy Awards for his work, and he's contributed to the PBS series Frontline, Nova, and The American Experience. In his latest documentary, called Never Forget to Lie, Marzinski trains his camera on his own childhood. He was born Jewish in Poland in 1937 and spent 2 years in the Warsaw Ghetto, and then 3 years outside it, being hidden by Catholic priests and other Gentiles. The film not only tells his story, but the stories of other child Holocaust survivors. Some of them, including Marzinski, survived by denying who they were.
My father showed me how to make the sign of the cross, said, from now on, your name is Marysia Kowalska. Never admit that you are Jewish.
Never Forget to Lie will be shown on Frontline in April. It's being screened at the Coolidge Corner Theater in Brookline, Massachusetts this Sunday, and Marian Marzinski joins us in the studio to talk about his film. Marian, welcome.
Thank you.
Marian, you say in this film that, and these are your words, my childhood seems to be my psyche's unfinished business. I need closure. Why at this stage in your life, in your 50-year filmmaking career, did you decide to make this documentary?
Because I tried before and I failed. I actually, in 1981, when Frontline sent me to Poland to cover Solidarity, decided to film a parallel story of my survival as a child, because we both was supposed to be not successful. So I went away from one of the rallies, and I noticed a horse wagon, and I told my cameraman, when I was 5, I was in the horse wagon. And I started telling him a story, and after a minute, I was totally incoherent. I didn't know what I was talking about. Then I realized that the emotion of the subject and the filmmaker, on the other hand, it's a difficult match. So I have to wait so many years and find the right circumstances. And the circumstances were that I learned that in Warsaw there is a conference of child survival Holocaust, and that people who are from the Warsaw ghetto will be staying in a Marriott hotel 5 minutes from the ghetto. And I saw, that is an incredible casting call. I will have others to pave the way.
So you did go back to the Warsaw Ghetto, where you grew up, along with other child survivors who had grown up there. And their memories are still incredibly vivid. One woman lost her family in the Holocaust, and she tells this harrowing story about a German soldier with a gun who confronted her in the ghetto when she was a young child. It's as if she's transported back to when she was a girl.
Please have mercy on me. If you kill me, and I will be dead, you will never forget my face. You will always remember that you killed a little girl, an innocent little girl. And he said, shut up. Just run. Don't talk. Run. I was petrified. Run. 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 Run, run, run.
She's actually running away from the camera as she tells the story, and it's clear her memories are just still crystal. That seems to be true for many of the child survivors you talk to.
The idea is that very often when we go to the history, we tell the story about it, about history. I wanted the it. And the it is how an 80-year-old woman can be for a few minutes a child, and how she can tell the story that in reality perhaps lasted maybe half a minute, and she is recreating this for more than 2 minutes. And that is something that has not been done before in the Holocaust films. They were always historical films. They were about the thing. They were a story with a distance, like the adult look at the childhood. Now I wanted the child in us.
You also interviewed your cousin, Ed Herman, and he tells this crushing story of how when he was 10 years old, his mother took him to the Polish border and arranged for him to be guided into Slovakia. He ended up becoming homeless there until he was taken in by an orphanage. Now, his mom did this for his own safety. Let's hear him talk about his mother's decision to do that.
It's like Moses' mother letting him go to save his life. I had to get out from Poland. It was just too dangerous. And the only thing I had is what I was wearing. He just left me there. I had nothing. I didn't know the language.
he had to, after his successful career of a professor of economics in Cincinnati, and we all actually have to physically touch the past in order to relieve some tension, because during our successful lives, we try to avoid the subject. We don't want other people to pity us. This is a dormant pain. And this dormant pain, when it comes up at one point, it has this type of reaction.
A lot of the survivors you spoke with broke down. Now, Ed is your cousin, so it may make sense that he felt comfortable opening up to you emotionally. But others also felt very comfortable showing you their raw emotions. Do you think that's because you had had some of their experiences?
Yeah, precisely. This film would not be possible for any other filmmaker to make that way, because we all wanted to be comforted by an angel. I was an angel to him. I was making him comfortable, and he knew that I understand his story. The biggest problem was who will be my angel. I'm a director. When I was on the front of camera, I was alone.
You do also tell your own story. And you say there's what you called unfinished business, which is having to deal with the death of your father. He stayed in the ghetto after you and your mother left, and he was killed when he tried to escape from a train that was taking him to a concentration camp. You were very young when he died, so I imagine your memories are hazy, or maybe there's just very few of them. Do you feel like you've finished that business, in your own words?
To a degree. My mother, of course, described him all throughout her entire life, how he was, in the big, big detail. So I had the impression that I know this man very, very, very well.
It's important to remember the title of your movie, Never Forget to Lie. In the movie, you say that at age 7, you understood that pretending was the key to survival, that you always had to deny you were Jewish, and for some people that overlapped into adulthood. But what does that lying do to you psychologically?
I got smart. I mean, lying is a process that you have to use your head. This experience maybe made me a journalist, a producer, a showman, outsmart situation, go for it, take a risk.
And you think you have benefited from it, in a sense, rather than have been damaged by it?
Well, I don't know. It's just who I am. Part of me has to do with this conspiracy of a young boy that knew that by admitting that he was a Jew, he would be killed. Another one is that I grew up in the pageantry of the Catholic Church, and I was close to priests and close to God. And the sense of this pageantry and this drama of Catholic Church is probably what I'm using in some of my work.
Because a Catholic priest had taken you in for a while.
Yeah.
At this age and this stage in your life, can you embrace your Jewishness?
I am embracing my Jewishness, but not a religious way. I mean, there are many ways. You know, the idea who is Jewish is a complicated one. I asked once a rabbi in Jerusalem about it. He says, don't worry that you don't know Hebrew, that you're not religious, that you're Jewish because you had two fathers, your own and God. So it doesn't matter that you don't recognize God. God recognizes you.
Marian Marzinski's film about his experiences and those of other child Holocaust survivors is called Never Forget to Lie. Marian, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
And for our Boston area listeners, the film will be shown Sunday night at the Coolidge Corner Theater in Brookline. For more information, go to hereandnow.org. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Have a great weekend, and please join us again here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.